Good morning. I guess being called Garvis isn't the worst thing for me in the world to be called. For those who don't know, Garvis was my father. Garvis was was the preacher here back in the early 2000s, and so I got to spend several of my teenage years here, and so it's always been a personal and professional dream of mine to go back and preach at all of those congregations that my dad preached for. And so for y'all, thank you for taking such good care of my mom and my dad and for putting up with me for so many years. That's I told one of my elders, and he said that I needed to apologize for being a teenager while I was here. Olivia and I, my wife Olivia, we live in Piggott, Arkansas, where I am the minister at the South Thornton congregation. And now for you to look at a picture of Arkansas, y'all know exactly where Piggott is, right? Y'all can just point out, well, I didn't know either. So way up here in the far northeast corner is Piggott, Arkansas. You'll never go there unless we do have an Ernest Hemingway house. That's where he wrote A Farewell to Arms. We have a pretty big heritage festival where we get a lot of old cars, so y'all might like that part. But Piggott, Arkansas, we work at the South Thornton congregation there in Piggott. We do have two sons that unfortunately could not visit with us this trip with us. Two sons. Our first one, actually his seventh birthday is today, Mickey. Unfortunately, he's spending his seventh birthday at the Crowley's Ridge Vet Clinic. And then our younger son, who's about 10 months old, is Bagheera. And they get along quite well, thankfully. They get along quite well. Thank you so much to the elders and to Edwin and to everybody for allowing me to come back and to preach God's Word to you this morning. And I wanted to know if for y'all at least, I know when I was a kid, I saw this same thing. We'll have camps going on right now. It's the beginning of summer, and I think y'all remember that Dan and I would go to Maywood Christian Camp in Hamilton, Alabama. And it always seemed to happen on the last day of camp. Everybody that could would respond to the invitation. Everybody that could would come forward and say, I am going to be better than ever. I am going to be the best Christian that could be. Satan has nothing on me now. And they're all fired up and they're excited about serving God. And then weeks go by. And then months go by. And I haven't seen you at worship recently. And you want me to go to church? What's happened? That person who was so excited about God. That person who was so excited about serving their Father. What happened? Was it the fact that the God that they serve was not strong enough to keep them preoccupied with Him? Is it that He was not good enough for them? Truth is, godliness and the desire to be a better Christian does not happen overnight. The truth is, we fail. We give up far too easily when it comes to trying to be godly. If you will, open back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see some words that we don't like. We see some words that we as humans oftentimes don't like to read. Some do for some reason, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 10. Paul tells that if you put good things, that's what he's saying with these things, if you put these good things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, there's that word again. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is in value in every way. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end, we toil. To this end, we strive. Because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. What we can glean from Paul Paul's message to Timothy here is that if we want godliness, if we want to be like God, if we want to be that stronger Christian, we've got to work at it. It's going to take more than just one statement of I'm going to be better. It's going to take action. And so how do I do that? How can I possibly train myself, as Paul says, in godliness? This morning we'll look at three steps that godliness really takes if it's something that we really want to work at and be good at for God. The first step to being godly is that godliness takes self-evaluation. I've got to look inside first. If you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet that test? Paul says that we need to examine ourselves. If I'm not godly, I need to know that. All right, I'm about to put a fairly scary image on the screen, and I don't want to frighten you too much, but for some people, seeing this image does bring back terrible thoughts and memories. That doctor's office. Man, I'm only 30 years, by the way, I'm 30 years old now, for those who remember me as a little kid. I'm only 30 years old, but going to the doctor terrifies me. It seems every single time I go to the doctor, Dr. Blake finds something else that's wrong with me. Why is that? Every time I go to the doctor, I find something else that's wrong with me. What good does that do for me? Well, every time Dr. Blake finds something that's wrong with me, it's then that I learn how to fix it. It's then I learn that I need to fix this. If I have a broken arm, I need to know that it's broken so I can start taking care of it, so I can fix it. When it comes to my godliness, the first step is I need to know that I'm not godly. The first step is for me to know that as a human, I falter far too often and that I need to work at it. Look with me in Lamentations chapter 3. And Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3 exactly to what end this comes to. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 30, he says to let us test and examine our ways. Why? Just so we can know that we're wrong? Just so we can sit back and say, okay, I have a problem and that's it? Jeremiah writes, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. We need to know what is going wrong in our lives. We need to know where our shortcomings are so that we can work on those and return to the Lord. The first step in me wanting to be more godly is to say that by myself, I am not godly. I need God's help. I need the help of the brothers and sisters around me. I need to continue to study through Scripture. Godliness takes self-evaluation. After that, godliness takes self-denial. Now, what does self-denial mean in the case of wanting to have this godliness? First thing is I have to know that something's wrong. I have to know that something is wrong in my life. I have sin in my life. I have difficulties within my life. Now I need to be willing to fix it. That's one of the most difficult things a lot of doctors have, is a patient who's not willing to change. Are we willing to be more godly? Are we willing to change our lives? Are we willing to make progressive steps to be more godly? That's what it means for us to deny ourselves. You know what I'm thinking of when it comes to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verses 23 and 24 says that if anyone would come after me, he is to deny himself and take up his cross once a week. Correct? Luke records Christ saying, if anyone wants to come after me, he's to deny himself and take up his cross whenever things seem to be difficult. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, what is this self-denial, Jesus? This is not denying myself of something. Denying myself is not saying I'm going to give up this one sin. I'm going to keep the other ones. I'm going to make sure that I am happy. I have to deny myself. I have to deny my sinful life, this human life, so I can live as Christ lived. So I can live as God expects me to live. And it's daily. It's an everyday step. Imagine, it was the weirdest thing. Y'all wouldn't, if y'all remember, I was very big in band. All right, I played that tuba for a long time, and I actually went to Mississippi State for 3 years playing tuba, and it's the weirdest thing ever. All right, I am at an SEC school to play tuba, and for some reason, my professor wanted me to practice every day. What's up with that? And why is it that he is a professional trombone player? I don't understand why this thing is a daily request. So why should our Christian life be any different? If we want to be good at something while we're here on earth, we work at it constantly. We work on it every single day. But when it comes to our godliness, once a week, an hour a week, that's all right. When it comes to godliness, if we're going to be really godly, we'll go 2 hours a week. Christ says, deny yourself daily. Godliness takes self-evaluation. Godliness takes self-denial. And then finally, godliness takes self-improvement. That one's hard. That one's difficult for me to think through. Godliness takes self-improvement. My first step is that I have to know that something is wrong. Then after I know that something is wrong, I have to be willing to fix it. And then the worst part. I know something's wrong. I know I need to fix it. Now, I have to work to fix it. If I know I have a problem with a particular piece, if I was back at Mississippi State and there was one piece that was difficult for me to play, I probably needed to play it. If I have a particular sin that is a problem in my life, I probably need to work at that. I probably need to look at Scripture to help me, strengthen me through those difficult times. I need to be willing to fix that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, reads to put off your old self. Now, I find it really interesting, and I really love the fact that any time you read in Scripture to put something off, every time you read through Scripture, when the Scripture tells us to put something off, it doesn't end there, does it? Every time Scripture tells us to put something off, it immediately tells us to put something on. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and true holiness. If we want to be able to play all of Chopin's etudes on a piano, is it going to take, if I can't do it, all right, I can tell you now, I can't. I played tuba, that's one line, at max four fingers working at once. All right, with a piano, you got two lines of music and 10 fingers. My little brain don't work. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to sit down at a piano and immediately play Chopin's etudes. So after that one time I sit down and can't do it, am I done? I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to keep going. I'm going to have to keep working, just as with my godliness. It requires a first step. I'm glad that I'm getting to preach this lesson here in Bowling Green, because it was way down the road at Greenwood High School that this next story happened to me. I can remember it was September of 2004. I can't remember what my teacher's name was, but I know it was Algebra 2, so that means I've got PTSD going from algebra. I don't do math. when you have bad handwriting like I do, and you're in algebra, and suddenly they're throwing letters in. Which one of these is a T, and which one of these is a plus sign? I had such a difficult time, I could not figure it out. I didn't know what I could do to determine which one was the T, which one was the plus sign. I was going to fail out. I knew something needed to change. I knew something had to change, and so from that day, I decided I was going to start making my T's with that little hook in it. Still failed the class, but I at least tried. Those first few weeks, I only wanted to make this T this way in that math class. It was only in that 1.5 hour block. That was the only time I did this. The rest of the time, I didn't do it. Made my T's my regular way. Then when it came time for that math test, when it came time for when I was preparing for this, and my brain was mush, I didn't do it. I did it the old way. Things got difficult for me, so the thing that I didn't work too hard on didn't change. So it took me making my T's like that in every class, in every day, and to this day, I still write my T's this way. Because of that math class over there. That's not life changing. But will changing your godliness be such a strong memory? I can tell you, September 2004, Greenwood High School, I changed my T's. Can you say Father's Day, 2019, I decided that I wanted to examine myself. I decided on June 16th, 2019, with that weird Arkansas dude preaching, that I wanted to change. That I knew I needed to change, that there needed to be a first step to that change. We have to examine ourselves to see where there is something wrong. Then we determine that we change. Then we must work to make that change. Perhaps June 16th, 2019 will be the day that you turn back to God and you say, I want to be the Christian who I said I would be years ago when I was buried with Christ in baptism. Or perhaps today is the day that you say, I need to take that first step. I need to repent of my sins. I need to confess that I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah who died to save me from my sins. And I need to be buried with Him in baptism to walk in that newness of life that Paul spoke of. Make that change today. Make today be that day that is special, that you remember for forever. That is the day that I decided that I was going to make God first in my life. We offer that invitation for you. The elders will help you. I can help you as best as I can. Edwin can. We would love to offer that invitation. If we can help you this morning in any way, we encourage you to come as together we stand, as we sing.